We also have another blessing today. This man is my brother. I love him so much. Yeah. He first came here in 1999, and this is your fourth trip up here. He came with his beautiful wife. You left her at home. That's the problem. Should have brought her. She's such a beautiful lady. Irina, right? It's a problem for her. And she did send her greetings, too. She did. But Boris Golden is with Chosen People Ministries. He's a missionary who works really hard out there trying to get Jewish people to accept Yeshua as their Messiah. And that is a tough job for any man. And so I know he wants to give part of his testimony, and I know he wants to talk to you. And we're going to take an offering for Chosen People Ministries after he talks. So God bless you, Boris. Hallelujah.
Shalom, y'all.
Shalom.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Well, I just remind you, I'm living in Florida, in South Florida now. So I tried to put my two languages together, my natural Hebrew and almost natural Southern. Again, my name is Boris Golden. I'm missionary with Chosen People Ministry. I'm Messianic rabbi of Russian-speaking congregation in North Miami. And as joy, pure joy, overwhelming joy for me to be here in Adat Hatikva again. It's always, always welcome me, and I really full of appreciation and tears. Before I will go anywhere further, I have to remind you that I still better speak in Russian than in English. So if you will not understand my English, please tell me right away and I will switch it to my Russian. Let me start with the story. I don't know if mic is working or not. Do you hear me? Okay, very good. I have a friend of mine. He is living in Israel. He came to Israel many years ago with his family. And as new immigrant, he came to Ulpan, the school where he learned Hebrew. And he went there for a couple of months, and his wife became very curious about one couple, American couple, husband and wife. They came to the same class in Ulpan. And my friend and his wife just sort of walking around them and watching them. And in one day, my friend received invitation from that couple to come to their house. So they got wonderful dinner, spent very good time, and then they sit on the sofa and they spoke on the couch and they spoke. And it was the peak of curiosity of my friend. So he couldn't hold his horses and he started to bombard that American couple with the questions. And one of those questions was, guys, why you so different? And when he asked this question, doors have been open and windows have been open, and that American couple start to speak to my friend and his wife, and they told them they are believers. They're believers in God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are not Jewish people, but they do believe in God of Israel. And they do believe in Messiah of Israel and whole world. And his name is Yeshua. And that touched the heart of my friend so powerfully that very short time he became a believer. So what I try to say that I know all of us try to be faithful witness. But my dear brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, very often and most powerfully, we witness not by our mouths, but by our lives.
Yeah.
And what I try to say today, I try to say that we have to live as we believe. As a messianic rabbi in my congregation, I am teaching my people, as you know this much, as you believe this much, live this much. So it's like in yeshiva when Talmid, the student, came to his rabbi, and he is saying to his rabbi, "Rabbi, I learned the lesson." Rabbi never tell him, "Tell me." He always saying, "Show me. Show me in your life how you learn the Torah." In today's week's parasha, we read about Noah. And scripture saying that Noah was tzaddik. He was a righteous man in his generation. What does it mean? Is it means that he was good speaking man? That he was good looking man? Tzaddik, according to the rabbinical teaching, it should be man who is living according to the God's word. And scripture saying that God walked with Noah. Actually, Noah walked with God. And our midrash, the teaching of this parasha, saying that to be tzaddik, to be the righteous man in his generation, Noah should be right witness. He should present right testimony of his life with God. How it was work? The scripture saying that God commanded to him that he should build the ark. And for purpose for this, he should use gopher wood, the cedar tree. Cedar tree. And you know how it's work? He has 120 years to build this ark. So for first 100 years, the Midrash saying, he should raise the cedar trees. And just see, he put the seeds, and 100 years he was walking around those cedar trees and nourish them. And people who live around him just walk around and ask, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm fulfilling the way of God. I will build the ark because the flood is coming. And you have time to repent and come with me." 100 years he raised those trees, and for 20 years he built the ark. And again, people walk around, "What are you doing? There has never have been rain on the earth before that time." And he's saying, "I'm just humbly fulfill what God told me to do." By his life, he witnessed to this generation. As a missionary for Jewish people, I try to use any technique, believe me, any technique for 12 years in the ministry. Actually, it's more than 12. It's maybe 17 years in the ministry to reach Jewish people. But believe me, there is nothing better that you present your life, that testimony of your transformed life to the Jewish people, and they will see who you are. And as my friend, in one day they will come to you and they will ask you, "Tell me who you are, why you are so different." I want to use one portion from the scripture to give you wonderful, wonderful picture of one of my hero of the scripture. This is not Jewish man, he is gentleman. Just turn your scripture on the book of Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I will read first five verses. When Yeshua had finished, I'm reading from my complete Jewish Bible. You can read from your own translations. Even words are different. Hopefully you will understand the meaning. When Yeshua had finished speaking to the people, he went back to Capernaum. A Roman army officer, there had a servant he regarded highly, who was sick to the point of death. Hearing about Yeshua, the officer sent some Jewish elders to him with the request that he comes and heal his servant. They came to Yeshua and pleaded earnestly with him. He really deserved to have you do this, for he loves our people. In fact, he built a synagogue for us. This is one of the amazing picture of the scripture. I think this is a real miracle in the scripture. And I try to reveal this picture for you. Yeshua stopped to preach on the mountains near Capernaum, near a small village of Nahum. And he is going back to that very city where he made most of his ministry. He made different miracles. He healed people. He did that. And Jewish people who used to live in that small town simply rejected him. Matthew 11 saying that when those Jewish people reject his power as a Messiah, when they reject him as a Messiah, he said to them, "You, Capernaum, will be punished more than Sodom and Gomorrah because you didn't see such a kind of miracles as you did." And in that very city used to live gentlemen, Roman army centurion, men who came to Israel for the purpose. And the purpose was very simple. He came to overwatch how taxes, how money have been collected and send it properly to the Rome. But when that man came to Israel, something very special happened to him. What? I believe he became a believer in God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How do I know? There is two evidence. First of all, in verses 9, Yeshua saying, "I didn't see such a kind of faith even among the people of Israel." And the second evidence, the behavior of this man. Scripture saying that he was regarded highly about his servant. We have to understand, the servant here is the slave. And we have to understand the mentality of the people who used to live 2,000 years ago and who have slaves. If you have slave, you can do whatever you want with your property. And if you have slave who gets sick, it was much cheaper to buy another one than to ask doctor come and heal him. I will give you comparison. The good slave cost 20 shekels. The good sheep cost 30 shekels. You see, it was much cheaper to buy another one. But here we see the scripture saying he was regarded him highly. Why? Because I believe God changed his heart and he was care about this slave. And then what's happened? He sent, he didn't came by himself to Yeshua, but scripture saying he sent Jewish elders, the same people who reject Yeshua a couple weeks before. You see the point? He sent the same people who reject Yeshua and they went. It's amazing. There is two miracles, actually. First of all, According to the Torah, Jewish people are prohibited to communicate with Gentile people. But we see here those Jewish elders went to Yeshua because the Gentile man asked them, not only because of him, but because of his Gentile slave. What the point? What the reason? The reason is only one. Scripture is saying that those Gentile Jewish elders who did not accept Yeshua came to Yeshua because of request of this Gentile man, and they pleaded earnestly. In Jewish mind, they knelt down and almost weeping. And what they say, you have to do this for this Gentile man. Not only for him, for his Gentile slave. Why? Because he loves our nation. In fact, he built a synagogue for us. If you will be in Israel, you will definitely will be in Kvarnachum, in Capernaum. And you will see the remnant of this synagogue. Believe it or not, my dear brothers and sisters, 2,000 years passed by, but testimony of love of this gentleman to the Jewish people still there. And this is the best way. Believe me, this is the best way how we can reach Jews and Gentiles for the glory of God. People are able to reject the power of miracles, but they are not able to reject the power of love. If you love God, if you believe in God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you believe in Yeshua, your heart will be transformed. Your heart will be full of grief, pain, and love. And when your heart will be overwhelmed, you will be able to bring your testimony of your transformed life, especially for the Jews, and equally for the Gentiles. That's what we try to do in Chosen People Ministry. I am working with the ministry who try to reach especially Jews, but equally Gentiles. I will give you just few examples of our work for just for one last year. Here in the United States, we had major evangelistic campaign, which is called Isaiah 53. This chapter can change your life. I was part of this street evangelism program in New York. It was campaign for about a month. It's overwhelming. I've been in many street campaigns, believe me, but this one was so special. That one was so huge, so powerful, and so full of harvest. I will not tell you that what we use, we try to use any opportunities. I will just give you result. Because of our work and work of volunteers, people like you who came from all sides of United States and even from overseas, we've been able to reach about 500,000 Jewish people. It's almost every one of third of Jewish people who are living in New York metropolitan area. And because of our witnessing about our campaign, about all efforts, what we did, about 150 plus Jewish people respond that they want to know about Isaiah 53 and Messiah from Isaiah 53. Can you imagine? Yeah. I think it's overwhelming. I will give you just comparison. Maybe you think it's not big number. First of all, numbers, it's not matter. Scripture saying, even if one Jew accept Yeshua, legions of the angels just shout in the glory. Yeah. There is 150. I think it's amazing. It's outstanding. It's whole congregation. In our small congregation in South Florida, we have Jews and Gentiles Russian-speaking people and English-speaking people and Spanish-speaking people. But the point is that those people, it's actually our fourth congregation, which me and my wife established. And this is most strong, God-oriented congregation, most family-oriented congregation what we have, most young congregation what we ever had. And those people are so open to reach this word. I'm so happy. Every week they come to me and giving me a report. I spoke with those people. I spoke with those people. I'm very happy to see that fruit of what I put in them bring so much harvest. And praise the Lord, those people not only wants to talk to people, they want to help to people. And I guess it's very, very interesting. Just in this last year, we sent to Ukraine and Russia more than 700 pounds of clothes and shoes. And people collect this stuff. They brought this, just guess, 700 pounds, you should get somewhere. People gave it to you, but you should speak to them. Another great opportunity what we have, it was my trip to Germany and Israel. And it was, when I spoke about Germany, I have showers, goose on my skin. Just imagine to be in Germany and do Jewish evangelism. Breathtaking. We've been there for months and travel all around the country, and it's awesome, just awesome. And I can go on and on and on. I just want to give you one more example because I want to bring my testimony. It's going to take a lot of time. I was staying with my small book table, usually in winter time. I'm staying with my book table with literature next to the beach. And it's a very good location because people can come through me, through my table. And in one day I was staying and some people around, some people saying foo, some people saying wow. But in one day I've seen one man who was approaching me and he was smiling. I was a little confused why he was smiling. When he came to me, he said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "No, I don't remember you." He said, "I do remember you. Years and years and years ago, when we used to live back in New York, in Brooklyn, I was staying with that small book table on the street in Brooklyn. And one Russian man came to me, and I spoke to him about Isaiah 53. And I explained to him, and I gave as much as I can, and he left. And it was the same man who came to me in Florida. And he told me that after I witnessed to him from Isaiah 53, he used to live in New Jersey at that time. He went to Messianic congregation over there. He accepted Yeshua over there. And then he became a Messianic believer. Yeah. You never know. You never know. God is working through you. And I would like to spend a few minutes to tell you what does it mean to be a Jewish man and believe in this Messiah Yeshua. I was born in a Jewish atheistic family in former Soviet Union. And I didn't know about my Jewish heritage almost anything until in age 7 or 8, one of my classmates tried to beat my nose. Why? Because by my nose, he recognized that I am Jew. So he was my first teacher. First, but not last. I've been beaten and cursed many times in my childhood because I'm Jew. So in one day, I decided that's enough. I should start to fight back. I should put all my forces and I should reach all the tops of the hills in this life. Yes, since then, I start to fight back. But over the years, I did realize that I can reach actually nothing. I couldn't get good job, I couldn't get good education, I couldn't get good position, mostly because I'm Jew. So finally, we decided to immigrate. And that's happened, that I should go first, my family should stay for a while in former Soviet Union. That's why when I've been in Austria and then in Italy, I felt very, very lonely. I missed my wife, I missed my son. I didn't know what I have to do, when and how I will see them again. I didn't know how it was happened, but in one day in Rome, I came in one church. I did not remember the name of this church. I did not remember where this church was located. It was not important. But what was important, that first time in my life, I was staying on my knees and I prayed to God. I didn't know his name. I didn't know who is he, but I believe that only him can help to solve my problem. Unfortunately, I did not realize that God started to work in my heart on those days, and those days gone. I came to States, started to live in New York, and many things just amazed me. And one of those things was that in former Soviet Union, most of us have been unbelievers. We've been atheists. We thought God is myth. He is unreal. But when I came to New York, I've seen thousands and thousands of people came to different churches, Muslim mosques, synagogues. They believe that God is real. He exists. Then after a while, my family came to States and we rejoiced in reunion as a family. And I would like to take advantage because my wife is not here today and I would like to tell you about my wife. Please don't tell her. She is a special woman. She is a woman of God. And God used her very richly, especially in my life as a believer. On that time, what I'm talking about, we've been two different kinds of persons. I've been very materialistic. She's been sort of spiritual one. I remember in one day she gave me the book. The book was called Life After Death. And she asked me to make a copy of this book. So I went to the office where I used to work for, and I started to make the copy. And one of my co-workers, Russian-speaking lady, came to me, and she asked me, Boris, is this your book? I said, no, this is book of my wife. She said, you know, your wife is looking for something. I said, oh, yeah. My wife is always looking for something. Nothing new. Anyhow, she took my home phone number, and she called to my wife, and she invited her in some Russian-speaking evangelical church. So in one day, my wife went to this church. She left as one kind of person, and she came back as absolutely different one. You know, she was crying and smiling at the same time. When she came home, she said, Boris, I found what I was looking for all my life. I said, what is this, honey? She said, I found God. I said, good for you, but give me a break. But you know, when God starts to live in your heart, when Messiah starts to live in your heart, you don't have break. You start to witness. So my wife, and because I've been the closest person to her, she started to witness to me. She started to sharpening her evangelistic gift on me. I remember in one night, we've been sitting up to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and my wife told me, Boris, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. In one moment, I'm getting overwhelmed. I'm getting very angry. And I start to scream on my wife, and I said, Shulamit, stop to tell me about Jesus. I'm Jew, and I remember history very well. And I remember everything what people who call themselves Christians made to my people. I remember crusaders, I remember inquisitions, I remember pogroms, I remember Holocaust, I remember everything which took millions and millions of lives of my people. And they have been slaughtered just for one guilt. They've been Jews. My wife started to cry, and then she said, Boris, you're wrong. Jesus loves you. It was last drop for me. I slammed the door. I went down to my car. I was sitting and thinking about divorce. How can I live with this? But few minutes later, something very important happened in my life. Few minutes later, my wife came down to the car and she asked me to forgive her. Not because she was witnessing about Jesus, but because she felt that I've been very uncomfortable. And I see it doesn't mean too much for you. But for me, it was like sort of revelation. Why? Because never ever before my wife was asking forgiveness from me. If even when I was right and she was wrong, I have to ask forgiveness from her. But now I can see different person. I can see different Shulamit. Today I can say born again person. Of course I forgive her because I loved her. So when we came back to our apartment, I said, Shulamit, here is the deal. I will show you through Tanakh, through Jewish Bible, that Jesus doesn't have anything in common with Jewish people. He is God of Goyim, God of another nations. So I opened the book, I start to read, and guess what's happened later? On the pages of this book, I've met God himself. I hope all of you remember the story of Jacob, Yaakov. You remember what's happened with him when he met God? What? He started to wrestle. Don't forget, he was a Jew. I'm too. When I met God, I started to fight with him as well. And I fought more than 1.5 years. I didn't want to give up anything in my life. My family, my work, money, nothing. But as God was over Jacob, God was over me. He won, I fell. Praise the Lord, he didn't break my hip. He won by his love. Honestly saying, I did lie to my wife. Why? Because somehow I did open up New Testament and I did read something. Remember, it was one book. That's why in one day I found John 3:16. God so loved this world that he gave his only one and lovely son for everyone who believes. And he promised not to perish, but give everlasting life. It was so amazing for me. I am father. I have my son, and I love my only one son with all my heart. But I could not imagine that I can give life of only one son what I have for somebody who does not know me, for somebody who rejecting me, for my enemy. I could not, but God did. Who I was enemy of God. I rejected him at any occasions, but on that very day, God told me, I love you so much that I already gave life of my son for you and for you and for you, and for all of us. But it was not all. Few months later, I found another verse. It was Revelation 3:20. Yeshua saying, I'm staying near the door, and I'm knocking in the door. And who've heard this noise will open up the door for me, and I will come in and get supper with you, and you with me. And all of a sudden, I did realize that Yeshua is staying right before the door of my heart, and he is knocking in the door of my heart, and he is telling me, Boris, let me in. Let me in. And you know, I could not resist. I open up the door of my heart, and I accept him as my Lord and my personal Savior. Praise the Lord. Yes. After this, everything happened very, very quick. I was immersed, I was baptized, and that probably one of the best of the days of my life. I was so happy. Everybody tried to give me hugs, flowers, greetings. So when I came home, I was full of joy, and I tried to share this joy with everybody. That's why I pick up the phone and call to my mom in Queens. And I said, "Mom, be happy. I was baptized." Few moments have been silence. Then my mom said, "I don't have more son." She buried me. You know, Nate. You know. Right in this moment, I understood that I have to pay the price, and price will be high. Right in this moment, I did understand many passages from the scripture. I understood what does it mean, words, when Yeshua said to his disciples, "If you want to follow me, reject yourself, take your tree, then you can follow me." Right in this moment, I did understand what does it mean, words, "You will be beaten in your synagogues." Right in this moment, I understood what does it mean, fathers will stay against sons and sons against fathers. Almost all our relatives and old friends rejected us. But let me tell you something. Our God is more powerful than anybody else in this world. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
He is. He gave us new friends. He gave us new brothers, new sisters. I'm traveling a lot, and almost everywhere I can find people with whom I can pray together, with whom I can glorify my God together, with people who are not simply open up the doors of their houses, they open up the doors of their hearts. And this is meaningful. This is meaningful. I know in my spirit that many of you praying for salvation of Jewish people. Your congregation is praying for the peace in Jerusalem. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. Because if not here, on this earth, on the heaven, you will see a result of your prayers. You will see thousands and thousands of Jews and Gentiles who came to Yeshua because of your prayers. Last 17 years, me and my wife, we helped different missions and ministered to work among Russian-speaking Jewish people. Last 11 years, actually 12 years almost, I am working with Chosen People Ministry. I hope all of you have such a kind of brochures. If you don't have it, please raise your hand. May I ask, keep your hands up. And I will ask ushers to help to give those brochures. For you who have it, please open up those brochures and you can find some information about our ministry. Our ministry has been, one per family is going to be enough. Our ministry has been established by former Orthodox Hungarian rabbi in 1894. We are quite old. What we are doing for this 115 years plus, we are doing any kind of evangelism and discipleship. We are planting congregations, doing street evangelism, Bible study, one-to-one work, you name it. Another great opportunity with our ministry is evangelistic events. We have short-term ministry opportunities. If you have fire in your heart to reach Jews and Gentiles for the glory of God, we will help you, we will teach you, we will equip you, we will give you opportunities to be on the streets of New York, Chicago, West Palm Beach, or even Jerusalem. Another great opportunity with our ministry is tour to Israel. It's not regular Christian tour. It's how we can see Israel through Jewish eyes. Right? It's going to be a life-changing event. On the back, you can find some information about me and my wife and how we can work together. Pray. Scripture saying that we have to pray one for another. And as a missionary, I especially need your prayers because I'm staying on the front line of spiritual warfare. I need your prayerful support as well as financial support. I can be the best possible missionary. I can have the best possible project. But without your help, body of the Messiah, I could not reach neither Jews nor Gentiles. So I have just two places where I can be. I can be on the field, reaching Jews and Gentiles for the glory of God, or traveling among the churches and Messianic congregation, raising my support. If you wish to see me a little bit more on the field, I need just a few more shekels in my support. Learn more. Have book, big book table, and I very briefly want to give you ideas of the books, what I have. This book, The Church and the Jews. Many people are wondering how it's happened that Christians, believers, followers of Yeshua, Jesus, stay against Jewish people. Why Jewish people stay against the followers of Jewish Messiah? This book will open your eyes. We have a lot of teaching materials like this book, The Temple. This book will tell you about the service of the Second Temple, the structure of the Second Temple, and the spiritual meaning of all what the Temple represents. Many people have questions. How we can argue, how we can answer for Jewish objections to Jesus? I have a five-volume book. It's called Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. If you will read all those books, you will be able to answer for any objections, isn't it? Does a Jewish rabbi know anything about Messiah? The answer is yes. This book will tell you what our rabbanim knows about Moshiach. Of course, we have materials how to witness to Jewish people, how to witness them about the Messiah. We have special book, Isaiah 53 explains, this chapter can change your life. Great evangelistic materials. From Hebrew, from Messianic perspective, you can see this chapter and how we can present this for Jewish people. And the last but not least, I represent this book. It's called Remnant and Renewal. It's a great book. It has dozens of stories of different Jewish people, how they accept Messiah all around the globe. But if you will buy this book, you will have outstanding advantage. Why? If you will buy this book, you can read the story of Boris Golden. One more advantage. If you will buy this book, you will receive absolutely free autograph from Boris Golden. Why we need this knowledge? Because with this knowledge, we can go and witness, especially for the Jews and equally for the Gentiles. Now, I would like to ask you to follow all Chosen People ministry tradition, which is called Tear of the Brochures. Please, not this way. No. This way. I will count 1, 2, 3 in Hebrew, and we will tear off that small portion. Please take a... Be ready. Echad, shtayim, shalosh. Give me good noise. Good. Keep this portion for yourself. With this small portion, please take a moment. Take your pen or pencil and please print your name, your address, if you wish, your phone number, and you will start to receive my personal prayer letter and you will know what's going on in my ministry to Jewish people. On the back, you can mark those programs in which you're interested in, and please return those slips back to me with your love offering, and may God bless you. And in the very end, I would like to fulfill the greeting of my wife. She wished to send you one verse from the scripture, Isaiah 54, verses 17. And she said, I've talked with her on the phone this morning, and she said that she loves you, that She's been here in 11 years ago, and she's seen Adat HaTikva, and she confessed that the testimony of you guys, your dedication to Messianic lifestyle, made big impact in her life. And she thank you, and she loves you, and she promised maybe next time she will come. And now, this is the message from her, Isaiah, and Hashem. I, great I am, also created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon make will prevail against you. In court, you will refute every accusation. The servant of Adonai inherit all these. The rewards for their righteousness is from me. Yeah. This is words for you. God bless you.